at Sound Fiction. This is episode 50. And we are the podcast that every week picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No take backs. I'm your host, Nico. And I'm joined here every week with my co-host, Tyler.
Hello.
And we are going to be returning to the land of Eternia once again for season 3.
I forgot that it was called Eternia.
Yeah, it's called Eternia.
Huh. Okay.
God. Fake Shira fan in the house, everybody. Yeah. Please know that I'll forget half of all of the characters' names. Not that any of them are on screen for very long, but
yeah,
we're gonna be talking about the next 6 episodes of Shira. It came out a couple of last week on Netflix.
Yeah, last week.
I forget that we staggered it by a week so that I could watch it.
Yeah.
Because I was too busy watching Veronica Mars. And it came out for another 6 episodes for its 3rd season. And we're going to talk about it today at length. What we thought about it. What we liked, disliked. The story. Where we think it's going.
This podcast will be like half the length of the season.
I know. It will be, actually. So, Tyler, how did you feel about season 3 so far? Well, not so far. It's over already, but...
Yeah. It's probably the first season... I guess it's only the second season that's 6 episodes, but, like, compared to last season, I didn't really care that it was 6 episodes. This one felt a little, like, condensed for 6 episodes because of how much plot is in it, especially in the last 2 episodes. I felt like it was a little less fun, which is the stuff that I like, because, like, the character stuff in the last season, season 2, was really good, I thought. Like, because, like, I don't know, I like the, like, Dungeons and Dragons episode where all the princesses are, like, having, like, fun and, like, figuring out wasn't that what they're, like, trying to figure out a plan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, like, that was a cool, like, episode that I felt like really was, like, emblematic, I guess, of the second season of being sort of fun but having, like, you know, light plot stuff. And this one is just going deep into all of the stuff they sort of teased in the last season. And I feel like it was a little bit harder to watch because it felt a little like, I don't know if it was rushed, but it definitely felt like they really wanted to, like, just go really deep into, like, the, I guess, well, we're not doing spoiler, or we are doing spoilers, right?
So yes,
they clearly wanted to, like, really just dive into the portal thing, which...
Yeah.
Who makes the portals? Like, Hordak made the portal, but, like, the portal was originally just a thing? Is that what it was?
In
time before...
I think the whole thing with the portal is that...
Or portals, right?
Mara made it so opening a portal... Because here's the thing. From what I could understand of the very intricate science of this show... Is that Mara sealed... Eternia, which is very funny and ironic if you really think about it. Mara sealed the entire planet off into what is essentially its own pocket dimension. So
right.
That it couldn't be found. So the idea of opening a portal to somewhere else with inside a planet that's inside of a pocket dimension... wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff happens, you're basically doing something that's going to disrupt the magic or the science or the whatever that Mara put into place to keep the planet from being discovered by Horde Prime or whomever was, you know, causing problems for the first ones and things like that. So by the laws of the plot, opening up a portal in general, not a specific portal, but just a portal in general, would cause disastrous problems for them. Because you're basically disrupting the fabric of whatever is keeping that entire planet hidden and in its own reality from everything else. Does that make sense?
Right. Okay. Yeah. And it felt like they really wanted to, like, get into that. And I like that they... did in some respects, because I thought that maybe that would be a thing that they never really, like, actually, like, grapple with.
Uh-huh.
But I felt like generally the season just it just really wanted to, like, move everyone into a place where they could show what the portals do, and then it just ended. And I guess it just didn't feel like it had any, like, room to breathe.
No.
Except for, like, the beginning. Like, the first couple episodes definitely felt like that, the stuff with Huntara.
Yes, yeah.
And that was good, but it was just like, oh, then we suddenly just drive into, like, the big stuff in it. The big stuff in this show, I guess it kind of shows that it doesn't really work as well if you don't spend time, like, developing the characters and, like, taking the time to, like, I basically, like, the final episodes, it was just, like, chaotic in terms of, like, I don't know what we're doing. And I, like, obviously I know we'd want to, like, stop the bad stuff, you know, really generically. But, like, I don't really know, like, it doesn't feel very, like, resonant in any way other than just being, like, well, the hero has to save the day. And it felt very, like, old, like, kid show in terms of, like, we're just going to solve the problem within this hour versus, like, slowly building characters, which is what I like She-Ra for usually. But I don't know. So it wasn't really my favorite season.
It felt like the first three episodes and the last three episodes of a bigger season. With the middle stuff cut out, which was weird. I can't tell if the reason that they only got six episodes and it felt very truncated is because we're going to get a really depressing, like, cancellation notice from Netflix. Because there was an article that came out just a couple of days ago that was talking about why Netflix cancels shows that seem to be the most, like, diverse ones. Like, and I think we can link that in the we can link that in the show notes. But basically, it was talking about a lot of the original programming that Netflix is greenlit is kind of, like, getting put on the chopping block with, you know, very nebulous reasons about, like, you know, so, you know, viewer numbers, despite the fact that because Netflix is the platform, they can completely lie about that. It doesn't have to be, you know, what they say it is. So, and since we heard more about the Tuca and Birdie cancellation and the speculation that the reason Tuca and Birdie was canceled was because the animation house that makes it became a unionized shop is a little bit shady. So I don't know if we're ramping up to hear that She-Ra's getting canceled as well, and that's why the story was so truncated. But I really didn't like it. My interest in She-Ra is still extremely tenuous because it's extremely hard for me personally. I want to bookend that personally hard for me personally as a 37-year-old woman sometimes to watch a children's show. Just, like, personally for me, it's a problem sometimes to watch Steven Universe or, you know, I even watched a little bit of, like, Voltron, and there's just something about a lot of these shows where it's fun for what it is, but I am not the target audience for this show, and I typically want more out of a TV show that I watch writing wise so I'm here tenuously. But like you said, last season had more character development. It had more, like, the pace was a little bit slower. There was more time to, like, stretch their legs. And I felt like the only times that I really felt that She-Ra this season was doing a good job were, like, the few couple of moments where we really kind of got a sense of people's personalities and what they really want, and the stuff that's well before the, like, alternate reality episode, which is a very heavily cribbed television trope of, like, let's make the characters be in an alternate dimension or reality where they get to see how their life would be if they got everything that they wanted and how much they don't like that. And I really liked the stuff with Hordakton and Trapta. I really liked the stuff with Scorpia and Catra. That whole arc in the Crimson Wastes, I didn't like the whole stuff with like She-Ra and Mara, but at least
it was
development for She-Ra.
Yeah, like I it was a little like not robotic, that maybe on two on the nose.
Stilted.
It felt a little like, yeah, stilted, I guess. It felt like, well, we do need to actually like reveal more about Mara finally, because we've been teasing it forever, so like we probably should just do the thing.
Yeah, but it was I guess it's because I think Adora is the least likable character in the show. In terms, like, I think she's least interesting, rather.
She's interesting, and I think that's maybe why I like the second season, is that they surrounded her with all the other princesses, and so generally it was just more interesting.
It's like
when you just focus on the hero story of Adora, it's probably pretty basic.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They also made Catra really not likable either. Like, I always thought that she was an interesting antagonist to some degree, but I also felt that I had a shower thought today before we recorded this, actually. I had a shower thought where I said, God, it just seems like Adora and Catra are just not the most likable people on this show. Like, they're just not even close. And Catra really just went above and beyond to be a really, like, fixated, needy, terrible person. Like, the whole idea of her, like, well, if you can't, like, I'll destroy reality just to make sure you don't win. Like, girl, like, you like, number one, everybody on this show needs therapy, because they are either grappling with parent issues, which is Glimmer and Bo, identity issues, which is Catra and Adora, or like codependency, which is Scorpia and Entrapta. Everybody in the show needs therapy. But I thought to myself, I said, God, it's all these characters are so unreasonable and unlikable, and I just don't understand it. And then I thought to myself, they're teenagers. Of course they're miserable, moody, jealous, needy, clingy. Like,
the like tearing down reality thing was very to me like, oh yeah, that's like a teenager, like, I'll do whatever, I don't care.
It's a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Versus, but that's the thing, is that makes it very hard for me as an adult to really get into the show, because I think Catra is fundamentally an unlikable person who really needs to come to grips with herself and realize that the person who is her biggest enemy is not Adora, it's Catra. Catra's biggest enemy is herself. And it's gotten so extreme that she's pushing away people that she really does care about. Also, Scorpia, please love yourself. Please love yourself. Stop being obsessed with Catra. I felt that her best moment was when she was like, do we have to go back to the Horde?
Yeah.
Why can't we just stay here and just chill and party and have like a good time? And I felt in that moment that Scorpia the most was coming through. But you realize that she still was just doing it to stay with Catra. And I'm just like, number one, the writers need to like shit or get off the pot with, as far as that's concerned, because it's very clear to me that Scorpia, like, playing it off as like Scorpia being obsessed with her is just a best friend is weird to me, because like,
almost feels like they were like not, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't be allowed to do that, but like it almost feels like they're on like some weird network that's not Netflix and they can't make that explicit. Like, doesn't it almost, I mean, I didn't watch Sailor Moon, but it almost feels like they are like avoiding an obvious thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because,
I mean, I don't know if that's how Sailor Moon was, but it, from what you've told me, it sounded like, I mean, like the censorship stuff seemed like
in America,
we gotta really avoid,
not in Japan.
Yeah, in America.
Japan, yeah. They were like, all the Sailor Uranus and Neptune, who were ostensibly very old high school students, which I don't buy because they looked way older, but like they were allowed to just be lesbians. They were just allowed to be lesbians.
This show just feels like they're afraid to like write the thing, the sentence. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, and you don't have to make it, like, explicit the way that we make gay adult relationships explicit. Yeah. I understand this show has teenagers in it. It's very hard to, like, you know, go to that direction. But on the other hand, there's a level of what's going on with Scorpia and Catra where Scorpia... I get it. Scorpia is older than Catra. She seems like she's more of an adult. On the other hand, it's like every time she falls back on this stuff and she's like, well, we're just friends. And it's just like, you are clearly in love with Catra. This is not just a friendship thing. Like, yeah, so...
Like, it's been too... They keep making it a thing, so it's more than just an episode that, like... or even a season, then it's like, well, you probably, like, it basically feels like they're not actually writing anymore, they're just repeating the same thing. Like, they like to actually fully, like, flesh out that entire relationship, you have to commit more, I feel like.
Yeah
Otherwise it just feels like, oh my gosh, like, Scorpia, like, what are we doing?
What are we doing, Scorpia, please? Yeah, I like, there was a really awkward essay that came out yesterday from the New York Times where this poor woman wrote about how she had, like, a work wife who was very clearly a lesbian and was, like, flirting with her all the time and, like, you know, but she's 100% straight and, you know, like, then became jealous when, like, the work wife started flirting with, like, someone new or whatever. And I was talking about it in the mentions of my other friend. And a third friend came along and was like, oh, my God, I thought you were writing about Scorpia and Catra for a moment here. I was like, oh, my God, that's so true. Like, co-workers that have this, like, weird, needy, codependent relationship. And it's funny because, like, I feel like the biggest elements of the She-Ra show are the story, plot beats, and the character interactions. And both of those things I don't think were very good this season because of the 6 episodes thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like if you just double it and still end with, like, the portal stuff, it would feel better because it would probably make more sense that they just draw. Like, I don't know, in some ways this season also did the weird, like, I mean, maybe it's now been a week since I've seen it, but, like, I remember thinking, like, geez, this almost feels like the way the alternate, I mean, it is an alternate reality, I guess, but the way they were jumping around with that and even before that, it almost felt like the big criticism of, like, Game of Thrones, which is, like, there's no travel time anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody just, like, appears in the places for the plot, and that's what this season felt like in some respects. I mean, not the beginning, I guess, but... It definitely felt, well, even some of the beginning stuff, it just felt like, oh, we're just conveniently at places all the time and just jumping to where we need to be because we want to just do this plot thing.
We have so little time to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess what that really means, it's not that I want to watch people, like, walking, but, it, you know, it means that you would have more character time, character interactions, like you said, if you have more of that journey before you actually get to the big things. Instead, it was just like, big thing, big thing, big thing. And it was like, you just lose. You just start paying attention to, like, I don't know, MacGuffins almost.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because, like, them trying to get stuff in the Crimson Waste or find out stuff in the Crimson Waste made sense.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of good time for character development. Although, where did Huntara go? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. But, like I said, the first 3 episodes were good. And then it went off the rails because of the portal stuff. Like,
the portal stuff.
Again, I get that storyline, but on the other hand, I mean, you always have to think about the story and the plot for an ongoing television series as when they do an arc, where is this arc carrying us to? And obviously the arc is carrying us to this character dies, which is Angela.
Yeah.
This stuff
happens. Even though it didn't really carry us there.
No, it didn't carry us there. But the real ending of that arc is that now Horde Prime somehow knows where Eternia is.
And we've shifted, like, Hordak to be probably more of a good guy, and, like, Catra's very villainous now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've shifted the pieces, yeah.
I feel like the portal mechanism as a story device wasn't that useful. I could think of other ways that we could have gotten to that plot point without this.
Yeah. It really feels like the portal stuff was to be like, okay, here's the Mara thing, here's why it's bad, and then also we get to spend extra time with Catra and Adora when they're, like, younger or whatever, or friends, and then we get to really show that Catra is, like, evil now, and we get to make sure that Adora saves the day, and then and then we have a thing for the next season. And it, instead of being, like, I don't know, like, it just, I feel like they just have done a better job in the last two seasons with, like, if there is a big plot thing, they usually do a pretty good job at it, like, building it up and then making it seem like, well, that makes sense. Like, obviously, you know, like, the end of the first season, they, like, fight and, like, solve the problem, right? But, like,
yeah,
it's not, yes, it's, like, simple because it is, like, a kid show, right? But, like, it was, like, that makes sense to end it on that. Like, yeah, maybe not my favorite episode, but, like, I don't know how they wouldn't have had, like, the big fight at the end. But this one just felt like there wasn't really anything before, and then suddenly it's just big stuff happening, and it just didn't feel earned, which is, like, it's kind of a boring, I feel like it's a little bit boring of, like, a problem, because it's sort of, like, it's not super, I guess it's you know, it's not, like, unique or any, like, it's not, like, a weird, it's not a very interesting problem. It's sort of just, like, they just didn't write enough. I don't know. Like, there wasn't enough episodes.
There's also the fact that in the first season, the goals of the Horde and the goals of the princesses were very easy to understand. The Horde wants to take over all of Eternia for whatever reason, because they're basically, like, expansionist, like, global colonizers, you know, because I guess the Hordak just wants a big army or whatever.
I guess.
And now by the third season, he's just like, well, no, I want to find the Horde and be a bigger army. I'm going to just, like, kind of ignore dealing with the princesses because I guess we suffered such a big defeat or something.
He doesn't say that, but yeah.
No, he doesn't, but I have to assume that because it literally doesn't get touched on in the second season other than Catra being promoted and trying to fight the princesses and trying to make up for her failure, and Shadow Weaver being, like, cast aside. But on top of that, then by the third season, he's just all about a portal and putting together a portal, because I guess he's offered the opportunity to see that as a possibility. But it just feels so inconsistent, because so then what that does is it kicks the legs out from underneath what the princesses are doing or supposed to be doing.
Right. Because
they're not defending. They don't have to necessarily clean up the planet, which also kind of de-emphasizes all of the other princesses, which we saw them for all of 3 seconds on the show this season. So, whatever. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if it would have been a more interesting season if they had started with the Hordak Prime guy learning of, like, Eternia or whatever, like, without the portal thing. And then, like, the portal would be, like, a really dangerous thing because it could, like, let him come there. And that's the way the season's structured versus the portal happening and then you realizing the problem versus, like, knowing the problem throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I'm not writing the show. But there just definitely felt like the stakes were weird. And I don't know. It just wasn't. It was just a weird season. I didn't hate it, but it just was sort of like, oh, I don't. This is not really, like, what I like about this show that much.
Me either. And how did we, I mean, they set up some interesting threads that didn't get quite paid off. Like, it was clear that Shadow Weaver was using Glimmer, but they never really followed up on that. because then the portal thing happened.
Yeah.
And Huntara is somewhere. And we also had some threads fuddled with because of the, like, you know, portal, different reality. Everybody sees a different whatever. With Glimmer's parents too. How did you, okay, so how did you feel about Angela dying, or Angela, or whatever?
I mean, I didn't want her to die. I don't know. Like, I figured someone would have to die because they said, like, somebody has to stay behind, and obviously it's not going to be Adora. And I was thinking, like, I don't think it'll be Catra. I mean, I don't think they can kill Catra. That would be a weird thing for the show. And so I was thinking, like, oh, is it going to be her dad or whatever? Because her dad's in this alternate reality or whatever, and he's alive. And so I was like, oh, it's probably going to be, like, the dad, so it'll make sense. And then when they started, like, suddenly paying attention to Angela or whatever, I was just like, oh, they're just going to kill her, I guess. And she just says, like, I've been a coward this whole time or whatever, which is, like, I don't know. I don't even know if that's how I would describe her. Yeah, like, I felt like she was just being careful of, like, the powerful thing she has. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really think... I feel like she was the one of the smart ones in terms of, like, not randomly using the... What is it called? Like, the moon thing?
Moonstone.
Yeah, like, I don't know. She felt responsible because she's an adult. And then she just, like, well, I have to die because Adora has to save the day. And it just sort of felt like, oh, I mean, I guess you could kill her, but then it also, you know, like, oh, that seems bad, though, because Glimmer's just not going to have any parents. But you said you think that her dad maybe is alive because she says, like, you're dead. What did she say to him, Angela, when she leaves?
She says, I have to let you go because you're dead or whatever.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm not, and then it, like, cuts off because he gets, like, sucked into the stuff. But I guess I took that as, like, him being, like, I don't understand what everybody's, like, being sad around me. Because I'm this alternate person, so, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why people are saying I'm dead. But I guess also it could be, yeah, like, he's in the alternate reality because he's alive somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I guess everybody there was... Like, was everybody in the alternate reality thing alive still?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense then for him to just be alive somewhere else. And then and in that way, it makes it worse that Angela dies.
Yeah, because then it's like... there's a tragedy here. Now, that's just my speculation. You could be right, and he's
but that,
like,
makes sense, because I don't know why he would even be in there since everybody else was in there that was alive.
Yeah, like...
He shouldn't have even showed up.
Yeah, obviously, like... here's the thing that kind of tipped me off was, like... I mean, like, no one in the shows died, for the most part, except him. Supposedly.
Yeah,
so him coming back in the alternate reality, because Madame Raz was like, what?
I know at the beginning of this season, Scorpio just throws somebody, like, then they just fall off screen. I'm pretty sure that person died, but yeah. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember saying to the person I was watching it with, I was like, I think she just killed that guy.
Because Madame Raz is like, this stuff's all true, which again doesn't 100% make sense because, like, doors were disappearing and stuff, but I get it. She said it's all true. Like, this is actually happening. I mean, it's an alternate reality. So the fact that he was there meant that they were in a reality where he hadn't died. And if he's like, I didn't die, that meant that he didn't remember dying, which means he didn't die.
Right. And so do you think, like,
he's
a portal thing will bring him back, or he's being held somewhere?
I think he's being held captive somewhere by Shadow Weaver. Because Shadow Weaver was the last person to, like... I mean, like, he was clear... That's the thing, is that Glimmer never
What's
knew
Shadow
her
Weaver's
dad.
Intentions? Yeah.
What's Shadow Weaver's intentions? I don't know. Like, I have a feeling that Shadow Weaver is keeping him captive somewhere. I don't know.
Because, like, wouldn't that make sense? Like, if Shadow Weaver's intentions were, like, I want to, like, control the Moonstone, then it would make sense that she would keep him captive and then also be, like, cool, because Angela will probably have to die for the portal thing.
I don't think she would have known that. I just think that's
Yeah, I don't. I guess she wouldn't have known that. But I feel like that because that's not explained. I don't. I mean, I'm not saying your theory is bad. I just like I would. I hope that they don't just say it's suddenly Shadow Weaver because like, I don't know. That seems weird. But I don't know. I guess maybe we're not supposed to know what Shadow Weaver wants. I don't know.
Yeah. No. I just think she has him shoved somewhere. That like whatever conflict he. Well, I mean, let's hang on. There's got to be a fan wiki about this. Like, there's got to be a fan.
Because to be honest, I kind of forget her interactions with him when he, because he was just like her student or something, right?
Yeah, and he's clearly old enough. He would clearly made it into adulthood because they had Glimmer, you know.
Right. And he was and like they. I think part of the alternate reality is to be like, look at him ruling. Like this actually happened.
But
he eventually died. We don't know how he died, right? Or do we?
Oh, even the fan wiki says rumored to be alive, possibly held prisoner after the events of Hordax Portal. See? Fan wiki backs me up on this one. But
great, I know you love the fans. I mean, all this is okay if we don't know, I guess. I just, it still kind of sucks. Like, it's still, I mean, not that I don't like the guy, but, like, I just don't know why Angela had to die
other for than that. Or, well, not even die, reasons. Be stuck in two different realities.
Yeah,
which, again,
worse, I guess. Yeah.
Super convenient. That's not necessarily how portals work at all. You don't have to, like.
Well, I don't think the show knows how they work.
if you're writing. You could have written that Angela didn't have to die, but I think that she had to like be taken out in order to bring Glimmer's dad back because, you know, there couldn't be any other reason why getting your dad back in some other fashion could happen. Like, I just, something about this feels extremely contrived.
It feels contrived. It also feels like they were like, crap, like we can't kill Adora, we can't kill the princess, we can't kill like Glimmer or Bo, and we have to get rid of somebody that's like kind of expendable still. Angela, perfect. Like we'll do her and then we'll bring back her dad, so that'll be a whole satisfying thing. Like it felt like they needed to have like a death at the end.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like a loss, like a consequence. Because they wanted the portal to be really bad.
He apparently died in the rebellion, which is, the first time. Like, they keep talking about the rebellion, and the rebellion is a resistance group made up of mostly princess led by Angela and Princess Alliance, dedicated to freeing to Etheria from the Horde. Okay, so it sounds like the Horde came to the planet, and that's why Mara had to seal the planet off, and so. Glimmer's parents fought in the rebellion. The rebellion couldn't have been that long ago, though.
No.
I
don't think it's implied to be super long ago, right? Isn't it supposed to be sort of near?
Maybe like 10 years ago?
Yeah. Like, I don't think anybody is like way back in the legends. It seems like it is not that long ago.
No, it's... Well, because all of the kids in the show right now... don't remember it.
Oh, right, but,
Or, you know, so they're probably too young, but they also had to be born. So, you know, like, Bo's parents fought in the rebellion. Angela fought in the rebellion. Micah fought in the rebellion. Mara was a part of the rebellion. But Mara sealing off the planet is what got us Adora. So it had to be about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
15 years ago. It's so fuzzy. That timeline's so fuzzy. But yeah, I have a feeling we're going to get Micah
probably,
back.
Probably. Because I also don't see how they would be like, yeah, Glimmer just straight up doesn't have any parents now. She's just really sad because she's still like a kid.
Yeah, she's queen of the Moonstone or something.
Yeah, although I assume I assume more Shadow Weaver manipulation is on its way.
Oh, they're especially totally... since they're going to have Glimmer become the queen, and Shadow Weaver is going to become, like, her worm tongue, and then Mike is going to show up and be like, Shadow Weaver, you made everybody think I was dead.
It'll be a whole thing, Though I think also people are going to be pretty mad at Catra because she opened the portal.
Yes.
So that'll be a thing.
That's still, like, that's the part of this that, like, Catra's gotta get her shit together. And I know that, yeah. like, the fandom is obsessed with her, but she's not a good person. And she's a really, like, I understand being into broken characters and whatever, but, like, she tased a friend of hers and opened a portal because she was just sort of mad at Adora for always, like, winning, and she thinks that Adora is the fault. Like, I felt that, like, Catra stands had more of a reason to be mad at Adora during season two because it, in season one and season two, because it felt like Adora was kind of a shitty friend. Like, you yeah. know, on the other hand, Catra has always had every opportunity to leave the Horde, and she keeps yeah. thinking that the Horde is, like, I get it.
But it's about how she's empty inside, and that it was she's like she says in the bar scene, she's lost everything.
Yeah, she's lost everything. The Horde validates her, yeah. and she keeps wanting to run back to the Horde. But yeah. girlfriend, that's not Adora's fault. That's not Adora's yeah. fault for wanting to get out of that. So it's like, but on the other hand, they made her like do some pretty horrible things that I feel like are kind of not are kind of unforgivable at this point.
Yeah, like, they really just turn her straight up into a complete villain.
Yeah, like...
Like, even to the point of, like, even though, like, even the whole, like, distorted Catra thing definitely felt like we're even gonna, like, change the way she looks to make her more evil-looking. Like, she's even beating, falling into this weird light void, and, like, she's just coming out as even more of, like, a messed-up villain kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, I feel like they doubled down on her just being evil.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah.
Which is just like, so, I don't
versus
know.
Versus playing with, like, Adora. That's
what
she used to
do. Playing with morality yeah. and playing and being an antagonist versus a villain. It's, you yeah. know. And I want there to be a redemption arc for Catra because I felt like, when I was big into Avatar The Last Airbender, I felt like what they did with, what's his name? The Fire Nation
guy. I couldn't
guy.
Name a single Avatar character, so...
Yeah, the, what's his face? Who is he? Prince Zuko. What they did with him, and making him sympathetic and giving him an arc, I mean, obviously they had way more of a budget and way more time to do that.
Yeah.
But he had similar issues where, like, he felt tied to and betrayed by his former home and family, and he was so wrapped up in getting restoring his honor with his father, so that's why he had to capture the Avatar, and he realizes that that's like a whole stupid thing because, you know, his dad never loved him, and he goes through like this whole transformative process, and I feel like that could be Catra, but I don't feel like that's gonna happen in quite the same way, and it sucks because it's very clear that the fandom loves her a lot, but I think she's kind of this like very stubbornly written character that is in a really bad place right now. And
and it feels like the writing is like for her for this season felt like another victim of the short season,
yes,
where it's like 100%. They just had to jump to her being bad.
Yeah.
So.
But they, like, everybody's gonna still like her anyway, so it feels like it doesn't matter, but it matters to me. So.
Yeah.
It sucks. Like, I'm not somebody who's invested in Catra or the show in a way that's like, oh my god, she is like half void cat now. No, I just see like a person being really shitty and terrible to her friends and
yeah
being mad at Adora, even though I don't like Adora. I think Adora is boring. I don't think yeah. Catra is a good character at this point. Like, I don't know, like, but then again, I also don't like Glimmer either. I
wow.
like Bo though. I love Bo. Bo's so good.
He's don't make fun of Glimmy.
Glimmy?
Glimmy.
Glimmy? Is that
little
what
Glimmy.
We're doing now? No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Glimmy.
No.
Glimmer.
No. No.
honestly, I just want to show with the bartender.
I want more Huntara because I felt Huntara was like, it was nice to have like another older character on the show that actually was capable and knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Huntara makes Angela and Castispella and Shadow Weaver and Hordak all look like morons.
Yeah. Wow. Don't make fun of Shadow Weaver.
Shadow Weaver is gross.
No. She's powerful.
She's hurting little Glimmy with her magical spells.
Whatever, honestly. She can deal with it.
Oh, God. I think, I will say this about Shadow Weaver. She's actually how a villain should be done. I actually think she's a better villain than Kadra. Because she's an adult. And you can see, you can see that there's machinations there versus, like, having a temper tantrum, so...
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's interesting to see where this show is going in relation to, like, Dragon Prince. I'm curious what the next season of Dragon Prince will be like. And then also with the way, like, Steven Universe is continuing on. Obviously, we had a podcast about that. And it's like... And then, yeah, like, I just... It's sort of interesting to see these shows that are sort of in the same vein. How they're tackling... You know, like, because I felt like a lot of the early Steven Universe did a really good job of being like, here's some plot stuff, but here's some fun episodes where there's like interesting stuff going on in the background. You know, like, here's a fun episode where we go to this like old ancient place that has stuff to do with like the gem war or whatever, but it's still about like helping Steven figure something out. It's just interesting to see the ways these shows do that differently, I guess, and with less time. I don't know, like. I don't really know, I guess, what my takeaway is there, but it's just like, I'm glad I watched Steven Universe because I feel like that is still my favorite out of all of these. Even if like I don't know if I like the way it's like at now, but I feel like it did the best in terms of having like brevity for, you know, different seasons.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I'm curious how Dragon Prince will be, because it's not, is Dragon Prince gonna be a shorter season? Do we know?
Because
the last one wasn't, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Honestly. I think the last one was just normally like 11 episodes or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't remember. If I remember right, Shiro is the only one that got short, so.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I worry about Dragon Prince too, because it seems way less popular.
Yeah. So. Shiro at least has like this huge female fan base, I guess.
Yeah, which is funny because I mean, not that Dragon Prince is like the best or anything, but I'm surprised because I think Dragon Prince is pretty good, but I don't know.
I don't know,
but yeah, I think I understand what you're saying though. It's like, it's hard to get with some of these shows all the time because it is like very not adult in terms of just like the writing.
Yeah.
And I understand that, and that's, I think that's just why I like the more fun stuff from like season two and of She-Ra, where when they really dig into this stuff, it just sort of feels like, well, like, you can't go really hard on this stuff because you're for younger audiences, and also like you don't really have the tools to do that because you didn't build that up because it's not the goal of the show. So it's like, you have to be really careful how deep you're going to go into like big plot stuff and villains and all that, because it's just, you're not operating on this, on the level of like regular television shows, which is fine, but like it just doesn't really work for me if that's going to be your whole season or trying to be like the crux of your season.
I don't need She-Ra to be something different for me, the adult, because I understand that I'm watching it. And it's not for me, the audience, but I've seen kids shows like Avatar The Last Airbender get more resources to be a smarter, better written show that has those like character moments, that has those interactions, that has that depth to the messages and the thematic elements. That's the thing. I don't think She-Ra has a whole lot of thematic elements. Other than some loose sort of ideas about like change and growth, but not really
and, like, the friendship consequences, but
Yeah, it's so threadbare. And I think that that's what's actually missing for both of us, because I know that we talk about that stuff all the time with relations to the other things that we like Dark Souls and other TV shows and movies about, like, what is it really trying to say? And I don't think she was really saying much of, like, anything.
I think, or if it's not saying much of anything, because maybe it feels like, sometimes to me at least, it feels like it's trying to say a lot of things, but they just get, like, they're just sort of garbled together, so it's not really a theme. It's sort of just, like, these, like, little strokes of, like, an idea.
Yeah.
Like, you could go really deep on Scorpia. You could go really deep on Catra. You could actually go deeper into, like, Adora and the Destiny thing, because, like, they talk about it for, like, one sentence in this season where she's like, I don't know if I want to do what I'm supposed to be destined to do. And it's like, okay, maybe that would be a thing. But they never actually follow up on any of that stuff. So it just feels like there's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Or
so it's maybe it's like, not even like they're trying to do things. It's just sort of like they're starting but never do.
Yeah, or they just don't. It just lacks the depth, which is, again, it's just, it sucks, because I feel like those thematic elements were there in, like, Steven Universe and Avatar. Yeah. And, like, you really got a sense that the show was motivated and driven by, you know, the idea that found family is important, and that, you know, physical forms and appearances are complicated, and that things don't have to be perfect, and that perfection is really kind of unattainable in the long run, and that, you know, the powers that be were worth fighting against, and, like, and just Shira just doesn't really play with those things on the level that many other things do. And it, I think that's where it's missing its heart. It's clearly gesturing at something with Catra and Adora's relationship. It's just that I don't care about either of those characters that much, and so it makes it hard for me to really sink my teeth in.
It feels like a show that's really obsessed with having moments that are, like, evocative, but they're not built
on, so they're just,
yeah. Because, like, Steven Universe has a lot of moments that we remember, but a lot of those are like, oh my gosh, like, we have been building up to this moment.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, like, when you meet certain characters finally that you've heard about, it's like, it's a whole thing. But in this show, it's just like, we wanted Catra to look all evil in a weird alternate reality, so here you go. And then it's like, but we're not going to, like, really deal with any of the consequences of, like, how villainous she is or whatever. Like, I don't know. It just feels like they don't really know how to actually write. Yeah, I guess themes. Like, I guess they just don't know how to, like, actually build into actual, like, thematic resonance.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just a bunch of moments.
Exactly. And, no, I completely agree.
And I think you can kind of see that with the way people really dwell on some of those moments, too, which is, like, you know, it seems like people like, I feel like people like those ideas, but they never seem very built upon. I don't know.
I feel like that's kind of driven a lot by the interaction between, like, the show and being fans and the fandom and what the fandom is really tickled by. And I know that the fandom is driving the engagement for the show, so that might be it. But it feels like they could do like you said, with Steven Universe, they could do those moments, keep the fans happy while also building it on, like, just a really powerful story or, like, a deep story.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like
it. And sometimes I felt like, because, like, there's a lot of stuff in She-Ra where it's like, oh my god, I really want to see Catra and Adora be in a scene together again. And they do that, like, every season where it's like, oh, we're giving that scene to you. They're together.
Already,
look at that.
We already hit a self-referential level.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, like, three seasons in with the Hey Adora thing. Like, we've already...
Yeah, the Hey Adora thing, yeah. And but to me, that's the thing, right? Like, they do those scenes suddenly, and it's like, Hey Adora, oh my gosh, I gotta, like, screen cap this and post it on Twitter. But then on Steven Universe, there's a lot of really good scenes that are like, oh, that is kind of what I wanted, but it's like, it's also like, they give you a lot of scenes in Steven Universe, from what I remember, that you didn't know you wanted, if that makes sense. Like,
and when they happen...
You didn't, yeah, they just happen as a consequence of what the show is about. Like, I mean, I'm not going to do super spoilers, but, like, the last scene of the last episode, the latest episode of Steven Universe, like where like the characters are together again. Like I thought that like in the same like on the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I thought that was like a really cool scene that like, you know, you might have wanted because it's like, oh, I want to see them all together again and happy. But it was also sort of like maybe a little melancholy in some ways, like, you know, it was sweet to like bittersweet in some ways. So like,
yeah, because they've been through so much to get there.
Right. And I feel like that was a really good example of like, oh, I wanted them together, but I didn't really want it this way. But I also, this makes 100% sense. And so I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I remember liking that scene. But versus like the Hey Adora thing and She-Ra is like, the Hey Adora thing is kind of like, you know, it's a thing, but like it doesn't really make any, like they, feels like they just winked at me.
Yeah, versus like, so I think what we're kind of grappling here is the difference between a reference and a payoff. Like,
yeah.
I remember seeing the characters in Steven Universe evolving enough that when you get to something like Sadie getting to be the front person of her own band, that was a payoff. And getting to see Lars come back from...
Come back. That's what I was going to say. Lars
coming
back.
Oh, my God. When Sadie and Lars first meet again, I was like, fuck yeah!
It's like, obviously you wanted to see that, but it's like, they didn't just like give it to you without anything. They gave it to you after a long... Like, it was near the end. Like, it wasn't even that long of a scene.
So
it was just
understood
like,
the gravity of these two people who went through so much changes and really figured out who they were, could come back together as these different people and maybe better people for each other.
Yeah.
And man, and I would love for that to happen in She-Ra versus like these little like dopamine hits that they keep throwing at fans with the like,
and
Hey
Adora
thing.
That's like a thing that always, that's the thing that bugs me in media a lot is like, please make the thing true to what you wanted to make versus just bending to what people wanted, I guess, because that happens on a lot of stuff in different ways. I mean, we talk about that with Overwatch a lot, and it's like, can you just please like stand behind the thing you want to make and make it make sense internally? And you know, but I mean, like, obviously it's hard, like obviously none of this is easy, but like I feel like it's just like it feels more true to the thing when it feels like it's actually a consequence of what they've been working towards versus just like doing the moment so that everybody's happy. And it's like, I wish things would just stay more consistent with what they're setting out to do.
Yeah.
And that's what Steven Universe does. And She-Ra often just gives in and is like, yeah, you want, we have to make sure that Catra says, Hey Adora, every season because people love that, not because it actually makes any sense.
Yeah. And it doesn't really speak to anything deeper or larger or whatever, but you know, and I understand that, and it might be a resources thing. She-Ra might be operating on a shoestring budget.
Know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I feel like
there's a place for it too. I think, but
She-Ra could. I think the thing that we're grappling with, I think, is that we could see what She-Ra could be, and we're. I just have a feeling we're not going to ever get that.
Probably,
and that's
not.
Fine. Maybe it's not for us, but on the other hand, I'm like, man, doesn't everybody want this to be more? And I realize that some people it doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if the showrunners want it to be more, but I don't know.
Yeah. And it's starting to feel like maybe they don't. Maybe they are kind of okay with people just being really excited about six episodes and then just moving on to another six episodes that have moments to like. Versus, like, an ongoing story that resonates. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's... I don't know. I honestly... my big question that I feel like we're working around is, like, why are the seasons short? Like, I don't... Not that I had a huge problem last season, but it's, like, I just wonder what is up with that, because... I don't know. I just, like, that answer would be interesting to me, because I just don't understand why there's six episodes. Why aren't... Like, I would wait longer for a 12-episode season. Not sure why we're doing short breaks and short seasons, but I don't know. I mean, I guess it's better than like the Steven Universe drops or whatever, but I don't know. It's just, it's kind of weird to me. I don't get it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. That was She-Ra season 3. I don't know. I guess we both, I mean, talking now, I like it less than I thought I did, but I already knew I didn't
so
like...
I'm so sorry!
Yeah,
I'm
it's your fault.
I'm such a downer!
But I like... Well, it helped me really... Your thoughts helped me really, like, sort of contrast that to the last season and why I think I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think it really is just like the character stuff. Like, it just feels like there was something missing with this season. And I don't know, I felt stupid at the end of this season because I felt like I was really confused on what was even happening with the alternate reality stuff. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know, maybe I missed stuff, but it also felt like, well, I was confused because there wasn't anything there. Like, I don't know if I'm bad for being just confused most of that time of like, I don't know why we're doing any of this. Like, when they started the alternate reality thing, I thought it would end within like 5 minutes. I didn't realize it was going to be the whole episode. So there was a lot of stuff where I was just like, oh, I thought we were going in this direction, but I guess we're not. And I'm all right. I don't know what's happening, but sure. So I don't know. It was a season.
It was. No, it was six episodes. Let's not be charitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not like going to not watch the next one or anything, but I think my expectations have definitely lowered.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. I mean, I watched this while I was grinding out Souls and Dark Souls, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's short at least, so you can just do it, but. But yeah.
God, I feel so bad. We're always such downers about things. There's gonna be stuff that we really oh, wait, it's Dark Souls. We only ever talk about things that were so hyped as just Dark Souls. So hopefully people will make stuff that we'll both see and both enjoy.
Yeah, Dark Souls 4, let's go.
Well, I want Please you don't. To I want you to get we should really do an upcoming episode soon about maybe things that we both haven't experienced, but we need to talk about things that we have been watching or talking about lately that we are very positive about, because I haven't been wanting to talk about Gentleman Jack for the longest time, and you haven't seen that, and I'm so weirded out that you haven't seen it because it's about lesbians. So, but it's a good show. So I just feel bad that we're downers like every week. So
well, everything sucks. Okay.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel well. Yeah, I guess it has been a little bit since we've been really positive. I mean, I was positive on the Dark Souls 3 thing, but and you were fairly positive on the Veronica Mars thing, I think. But yeah, I don't know. There hasn't been a lot of like stuff recently that's been new that I've been really into. So I mean, I'm not playing Fire Emblem, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we're just gonna be really psyched about Death Stranding. God, I don't know.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. I will say that I'm excited for the day when Elden Ring comes out, though. That's going to be interesting because...
God, you're looking... I like how excited you are for something that is, like, really vague and really far away.
Because it'll be the first time that a Dark Souls game or a Souls game or a FromSoft game has come out and both of us will be around to play it.
Unless I die.
Don't joke about that, Tyler. That's not funny. I can't do this podcast alone. Where both of us will be around and we'll both be able to play it at the same time. And both of us will, you know, I'll have finally understood what Souls games are like. Because Sekiro came out and I only vaguely understood what Souls games were like. But
yeah, now I mean, you know. Understand what Souls games are like now. You don't need a new game.
I know, but it's a new game, like a new FromSoft game that both of us can play at the same time, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this was supposed to be a Shira episode, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It is interesting that you say, like, there hasn't been a lot of stuff we liked, and it's like, I don't know. I guess I just haven't. Yeah, I really haven't done a lot of stuff that is. That I liked this year, I guess. I mean, at the beginning of the year. I don't know. Interesting.
I need to take notes on things that I did like, because I have watched a lot of TV shows that I really liked. I think I think we should really just talk about this off the cast, about doing an episode of things that we did like and we want to recommend to people.
Yeah.
I think would be a good thing because I've watched a lot of TV shows about stuff that I've liked, but we haven't been able to talk about it because you haven't also watched them or been aware of them. So, you know.
Yeah. Wait, was Spider-Verse this year? No.
Yeah, it was. Spider-Verse was this year. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we liked Spider-Verse.
Go watch that. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, go watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. I was just thinking. I was like, gosh, what did we even like this year? I was, like, trying to think.
Yeah, Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse. That feels so long ago already.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Because I was thinking of like movies and stuff, and I was like, well, we watched like Captain Marvel. Did we do a podcast on Captain Marvel? Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And I didn't really like that a ton. And then Avengers, same thing. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think we should probably end the podcast now before we start rambling. I guess, on yeah. Hey, Tyler. Yeah. Okay, where can we find you on the internet, Tyler?
I'm on Twitter, which is at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. I'm also writing for BlizzardWatch.com, stream for Blizzard Watch on twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch.
You can find me on Twitter at Apple Cider Witch, on Twitch also at Blizzard Watch, and also at twitch.tv/Apple Cider Witch. You can find the show on Twitter at MISFcast, and if you have a question or a comment about this week's show or any shows that we've done, you can write us at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes, talk about it on social media with your friends and your family. And our intro and outro music is done by Maddie Myers, and you can follow everything she does at MiniMyers.net. That's MiniMyers.net or Minnie Myers on Twitter. So that's it for us this week.
Bye.